To be here tonight, and I want to welcome all of you. We're going to be opening our Bibles in just a moment to the 54th chapter of Isaiah. I'd like to begin with a prayer. We need a lot of prayer. This is a very wicked world, getting worse all the time. I'm sure you've noticed. And I'm sure as you look at this, you can see there's only one hope that we have for our soul. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no other alternative. Is it hot in here, or is that just me? Yeah, what's going on? That's what it is. Okay. Praise the Lord. That's all right. I can handle it. Amen. I just was wondering if I was just hot, or if everybody else was, or what the deal was here. Anyway, we always appreciate it in winter, and then we try to get rid of it in spring. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this gathering of Thy people, and we thank Thee for Thy blessings. And we know, Lord, that without Thee we can do nothing. And so we're so appreciative tonight to be gathered in Thy presence, knowing that it's by Thy divine will and by Thine almighty hand that we're here. And we're thankful, Lord, and we appreciate it so much. We thank Thee, O God, for the power of Thy word, for the power of Thy name, O Lord, and for the strength that abides within through Thy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst be with us this night in a powerful way, that Thou wouldst move upon our hearts and our souls. Help us, O Lord, to reach out to Thee in complete faith. Let Thy perfect will be done. Let the enemy be smitten, rebuked, bound, and cast out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the blood. Let Thy word have the preeminence, O Lord. Help us to be strengthened, O God, through faith in Thee. For we know, O Lord, that Thou art the living God, King of kings and Lord of lords, and beside Thee there is no Savior. Lord, let Thy will be done now. Let Thy blessing be upon us. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank the Lord for deliverance. I'm glad I'm not floundering around out there wondering what's going on. But I'm glad that I have the Word of God to look into, and the desire and the privilege of prayer. Amen. Do you have a desire to pray? You know, you can develop that. Jesus said to watch and to pray. A lot of wicked things going on. And frankly, I don't understand how so many people can be so deceived, so completely deceived. I was listening to the radio, I think it was just yesterday, and I found out that our president recently said, I think it was just Monday of this week, he said that in regard to the campaign contributions everybody's talking about, he said 90% of those contributions were obtained through legal means. And I had to immediately stop and ask myself, well, how about the 10%? Now, does that mean that he inhaled 10% of the time? Does that mean that you can believe him? If somebody says, well, now I'm a 10% liar, I lie 10% of the time. Well, how does that make you feel toward them? You never know when they're doing, when they're not. But he was proud and boastful of the fact that 90% of the money that he got was legal. Of course, 10% wasn't. But he didn't talk about that. Arnie? No, I hadn't heard anything yet. Okay. Well, I can try and track that down. No, I hadn't heard anything. But these are very strange and trying times. You know, looking at this whole scenario that's been going on here, ever since that eclipse of the moon, I don't know if you notice it, just weird stuff. The stock market has been just falling. And a lot of people don't realize it yet, but there's a lot of people in this country from coast to coast that have lost a lot of money, and they have lost their little nest egg that they had set aside, and it's not over yet. It's going down, and it's been planned. It's been set up that way. A lot of people don't realize that Wall Street is run by astrology, and there are people in the Masonic Lodge who are very much astrologers. I know because I've been in those lodges, and I've seen them work, and I can tell you that they regulate their lives, they regulate Wall Street, they regulate Alan Greenspan, and before that, Paul Volcker. All of these guys were involved very much in astrology. And It's all occultism, and they make decisions. Well, I'm going to raise the interest rate because the stars are this way and that way. And after a while, it gets to be somewhat predictable. But it's such a wicked system. It's the same old Babylonian spirit, the same old Roman spirit. There is no difference. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, it gets real distressing when you watch these signs unfold before you and see these things happening. And there are so many people you'd like to just wake them up somehow. Can't you realize that we're at the end of the age? Jesus said, you've learned how to discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Can't you see it's never been like this before? And that's exactly the problem. You see, there are so many people that are oblivious to all of this. The very fact that you can have these so-called cults, whatever you want to call them, rise up, and of course they had their sacrifice of 39. 39 people that were deceived, of course they had more than that, 13 of them took off in another direction, and they're looking for the mothership. Believing that a flying saucer behind the comet was going to pick them up, but they had to off themselves first. Can you imagine if... And some people say, well, I feel sorry for them. I don't think I do. Any more than I feel sorry for the witches that are witches. I just don't have sympathy for them. There's one commandment, and that is repent. And one of the problems that Christian people have is they have too much sympathy for certain people. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Empathy, yes. A caring attitude, yes. But if you feel sorry for people, in some cases, that's exactly what they want and should not have. As it has been said, I think that group out there in California was just a bunch of people trying to keep up with the Joneses. But think about that for a minute. But anyway, what they have done is they have damaged Christianity tremendously, true Christianity. Because every little church is suspect now. Are you one of those? Do you have a purple shroud shaped like a triangle? Are you waiting for a flying saucer on the other side of the comet? You know? That's how people look at some true Christians. And of course, they were all laying there on their beds in that expensive place, and they're all wearing Nikes. That must have done wonders for Nike, huh? Those tennis shoes? They built their business on Michael Jordan. You know, they had the Air Jordan. Now, these guys must have been wearing Air Kevorkians. when you get thinking about it. But it must have really done something for that company. But I understand now that they're cleaning up the whole area with Comet Cleanser. Anyway, with all that out of the way, I'm a little upset with people like that. You know, really. I just don't feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for their families in a way and people that knew them and for the results of it all. Because let's face it, this is precisely what the government wants. Another fruitcake fringe, you know. Another weirdo bunch. Another one that is not regulated by the 401c3 or whatever their number system is. That they want everybody locked into the big mainstream. My Bible tells me that that wide and broad path is the one that leads to destruction. That there is a straight and a narrow path that leads to heaven. And the Scripture tells us, few there be that find it. Not the billion Catholics that are going down the broad way. Incidentally, Mr. Applewhite, the leader of that cult, was Roman Catholic. They didn't tell you that, but he was Roman Catholic. And he was very skilled in mind control. And he was teaching at a Catholic school before he retired into his real calling here. Well, I'll tell you, there's a reason why there's a judgment day. There's a reason why everything will be sorted out. And it's going to take God to do it. There have been so many things happening. Our country right now is on the brink of absolute destruction. The economy is about to fail. We've got a man in the White House who admits that he is a liar 10% of the time. And I think that's grossly understated. And people love to have it so. You know, there's something in Jeremiah here that I think is very revealing. I know we're in Isaiah. We're coming back there, but as long as I thought of that, I'd like to just show you something here. In the 5th chapter of Jeremiah, when you go down to go down to verse 25 of Jeremiah 5. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. See, that's what will happen. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. Incidentally, that episode there of suicide, of mass suicide, those 39 people, which is the Baal's number, you know, 313. It's 13, 13, 13, 13 tripled is 39. There's a significance there, and there's a reason why 13 left and went down toward Texas. They're not quite sure where they are. But that was a necessary sacrifice to bring about a spiritual result. These people were a part of an occult group, and they were closely linked to something that is called the Process Church of the Final Judgment, which happened to be Charles Manson's group. Their modus operandi was very similar, but this was a system, this was a sacrifice. They were trying to bring about an occult force, a power. It's kind of interesting that the Star Wars thing came back recently too, and people are saying the Force be with you. Incidentally, when a coven of witches ends their meeting, that's what they say. When they gather to greet each other, they say, blessed be. And then they go in under the oak trees, or if it's a building, in the, through the oaken doors, and they go through their stupidity. But then, as they leave, their last words to one another is, the Force be with you. Now, what do they have in the movie theaters? And what's all over the place on the lips of young people today? The Force be with you. The Force be with you. I see it on posters. I see it in advertisements. People think it's cute. It actually is an invocation of spirits to follow the people that say it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. See, and Star Wars, you know, they got the two sides of the Force, and they've got Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and these guys. And of course, when Darth Vader was threatened with death, this character that represents the dark side of the Force, he said, that's all right, if you kill me, I'll just come back stronger than I was, which is the doctrine of reincarnation. It's witchcraft all the way through. All these space shows, these Star Trek and Star Wars, and remember Battlestar Galactica? That one was put out by the Mormon Church. You can tell by the names of the characters. They all had Mormon-sounding names, and it's a fact that it was the Mormon Church that financed that, and they had young people so hooked on it that one young man said, I can't live without this. When they took it off the air, he jumped out the window and killed himself. A lot of people went practically berserk and went through withdrawal when they took that off the air. There is a power in these things. The devil is after young people. The devil is after your children and my children. The devil is trying to tear down everything that God is building up. And victory is assured ultimately. You may lose battles, but we're not going to lose the war because it belongs to God. It's in His hands. Amen. And so this situation that we have, let me finish reading in Jeremiah here. It says, in verse 27, as a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. How can you overpass the deeds of the wicked? Well, it would take a conspiratorial group to do that. That's how you amplify and multiply wickedness, don't you? When you can get powerful people together in one place, and when they can conspire together against the Lord. And that's precisely what's going on. Let me just throw this in right here for a moment. I believe I mentioned on Sunday that I had some information from one of my London correspondents from over in England. And he told me that information had reached him that at the last Bilderberger convention, now for those of you that don't know what that is, in over in Holland they have meetings every year. The top 500 men, this Council of 500, and they are there to reshape the international order. They work in conjunction with something called the Club of Rome, which works along with the United Nations. And they set forth directives on how to change the face of the world and bring everybody into the new age. And they have a number of directives, things that they want to see happen. And the fifth directive in the last meeting was to reduce the population of the United States from 260 million down to 100 million. In other words, what they want to do is find a way to kill off 160 million American people. Now, you might say, could this be? How could this be? Could there be such a dirty bunch? Well, I'll tell you, there's a dirty devil, and he's got people. And they, if you have trouble believing this, just backtrack a little bit. Look back in history. You can see the footprints of Satan as he walked to and fro on the earth and up and down in it. And we see the millions of deaths and the untold horror and atrocities that have taken place at his behest. And it's an awful thing. But that was one of the directives, directive number 5. Reduce the population of the United States down to 100 million. How do you kill off 160 million people? Well, plagues, diseases, and so forth. I mentioned that on Sunday. Now I turned on the radio this morning and found out that there's a breakout of hepatitis A from strawberries. That strawberries out of California were sent to 17 states and to the schools, and they were served for lunch. And these young people, these children, are coming down with hepatitis A. Now, they said, since this has happened, we'd better vaccinate, or immunize, rather, everybody against hepatitis A in all of these states. You got to provide an excuse. You got to arrange for a tragedy, arrange for a sickness, and then provide the solution, which is actually the real problem. And incidentally, these strawberries were United States government surplus strawberries. I just thought you might want to know that. Yeah, that could be. That could easily be, yeah. All right? And it's pretty easy to insert the hepatitis into those berries if they want to create a problem in order to cause people to flock to and stand in line at these places where they're going to ram them with needles and put the real stuff in them. I don't trust them. I just don't. There is one who I trust, and that is the Lord. Because the Lord has shown me that I can always trust Him, that I can have absolute faith in Him. But as for what's going on in this world, my Bible says, watch and pray and try the spirits and pray for discernment and pray for the gifts of the Spirit to be operating, because the only hope we've got of survival at all is in Jesus Christ. He can lead us away from the bad things and to the good things. But He doesn't want us to walk around like a bunch of dopes wondering and with rose-colored glasses saying, nobody's that evil. Huh? You'd be the first to go. Well, the Lord will help us. But let's get down to business here. It says of these people, in verse 28, they are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. What do they claim to do? They're for the downtrodden. They want to help all the poor people. And that the reverse is true. The opposite of that is true. They don't care about that at all. So shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful, that means not good, but wonderful here means something to wonder at. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? When people want it that way, when people love to have it so. You know what the sad fact is? They have allowed people to have a certain niche of comfort, a job, insurance, job security, all these things that make people feel comfortable to try to lull them and rock them to sleep so that they can entertain themselves on weekends and entertain themselves in evenings. Plenty of things to watch, plenty of things to do. The devil will give you any way there is to keep you from the one way. You see? They have allowed people to get into a situation where they do enjoy life to a great extent. But the enjoyments that they have are all temporary and are all godless. And only the Christian can really realize that. You got to give that some thought. And if you do, you'll understand it. What would the devil do? What if you were the devil, what would you do? Well, we don't even want to think that way, however. But the fact is, if you sit down and look how an evil person could conspire and plan things out, that's exactly what's happened. These things aren't happening by accident. They're happening by design. And I am thankful tonight to know that there's a God in heaven who takes care of his people, because he assured us that he is the good shepherd. And he has not forsaken us. In fact, that brings me now to the portion of scripture I want to start in on. And that is in chapter 54 of Isaiah. And we're going to see what our hope is. I don't know, I thought I'd just tell you these things to kind of arrest your attention and make you realize there's a need. Some people don't think there's a need. How can anybody? Well, put it this way. As time goes on, the need will become more obvious. It's going to become incredibly more obvious. I don't know what it'll take to wake people up, but God knows. And there are going to be a lot of howling people pretty soon, because I can see, based on what they're planning, based on what I've been able to study for a long time, this nation is in for a major upheaval very, very, and I mean very soon. Daniel?
There's been a lot of howling at work because the stock market in the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Our 401k plan has allowed them, there's five different areas that they can put their money in, and they've been playing the stock market quite a bit. A lot of people at work, and they made some quite a bit of money on it, but the last few days,
you know, in just a couple of days, you can lose everything you've made. And it would take you a long time to get it back. There are a lot of people out there that were, because it was such a bullish, you know, up, 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 up. What goes up must come down. And that can be triggered, as it was back there in the, in 1929, 28, 29 period of time, where they pulled everything down. All of a sudden, all at once, all the big wheels took their money out of the banks, just pulled it right out and put it into Canadian banks. The Kennedys, the Warburgs, the Rockefellers, all these, the Mellons, Carnegies, all these people pulled all their money out, all of it, out of the United States and stuck it in Canada. And the banks started calling in all of their call money, because the money that they had loaned out could be called in at any time. When they called it in, everything just crashed, just came tumbling down. This can happen so quickly and so easily. And the point I wanted to drive home about all of this in regard to that is that in all of history, no kingdom, no nation, no empire outlived its economy. The government fell when the economy fell. And if the bottom falls out of this thing, the government that we have will end and a new one will take its place. And you're not going to like it. It's not going to be a better one. It will be made to look that way.
New age.
New age, oh yes. A dictatorship, huh? Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer, huh? Think about it. Could it happen here? A lot of people say not a chance. Yep. And Mr. Embarrassment is over in China. Or is he back yet? Al Gore? Over in China? Where they eat babies? Well, he can stay there too. But China is a very wicked land. You know, they eat babies over there. Aborted babies. In China. It's a delicacy, and they like to get them. Their favorite ones are when they're real little, about an inch long. And they have them in jars, and they sell them, because they say it's for health reasons. And, of course, we want to give these people favored trade status and do all kinds of business with them, these wonderful people over there that eat these babies. Incidentally, I have a list of United States companies that have petitioned abortion clinics to buy up all of the aborted babies they can to use in their products. I don't know if you'd like to have a copy of that list, but there are a lot of U.S. corporations that want these things. Somebody better start making some noise somewhere, because it's going from bad to worse to worse. And you might say, but where are the conservatives? Where are the people that have a backbone that are real conservatives? Where are the Republicans? You always have a conservative element and a liberal element, but they're all cut out of the same cloth. You can be sure of that. Because the only way you can generate a force that will change societally, change people and reshape the international order and so forth, you've got to have two opposing forces. You've got to have thesis, antithesis in order to get a negative synthesis. That's called the Hegelian dialectic. You've got to play both against each other to bring about a result that you can absolutely manage. If there's somebody at the top, such as the Freemasons, the upper level of Freemasonry, controlling both sides, then you can look to one side as your great hope. But it's a false hope, because they're controlled by the same ones at the top. And that's the mistake that a lot of people make. If you look at these so-called champions that have said, well, we are anti-abortion, or we are anti-this or anti-that, they can carry it, they can talk all they want. They can only carry the torch so far. And then the big, grand, worshipful master says, no more. And they're stopped dead in their tracks. So there is no hope but Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, with that thought in mind, let's look at what our Savior told us, what the prophet Isaiah told us about Him. Last week, we studied about the greatness of the Lord in salvation, how He went to the cross and died for our salvation, how He poured out His life. And I hope you can remember what was said. If not, we have a tape recorded. But as a result of His death and His burial and His resurrection, which, by the way, is the gospel, isn't it? Have you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Has anyone ever said to you, what is the gospel? Well, a lot of people will say, well, gospel means good news. That's correct. But what is it? What is the good news? And they'll say, well, Jesus went to the cross, and He suffered and died for us. That's part of the gospel. The complete gospel is this, that Jesus not only came into this world and lived a perfect life and set an example for us, and then went to the cross and suffered and died, but also that He was buried, and also that He rose again from the dead. That's the gospel. If you leave any of that out, you don't have the gospel. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. He can say that all he wants as long as I'm preaching the truth. Praise God. And I am, too. We can check it with the Bible. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The Catholic system, they show you a cross with Jesus still hanging there. That's not the gospel. Because he didn't stay on that cross. He was buried. A big stone was put in front of the tomb. It was sealed with a Roman seal with the inscription Pontifex Maximus on it, Chief Pontiff. That was Caesar's title, the Chief Pontiff. That's the Pope's title, the Chief Pontiff. How did the Pope get it? He became the new Caesar. Huh? It talks about in the Bible, and Daniel talks about the little horn that sprang up on the beast, the little horn. He became the new Caesar, little Caesar. The Pope became the little Caesar. When the Pope signs his name under it, he signs, let's see, how does that go? I believe it's Lux Clarii, which incidentally adds up in Roman numerals to 666. The Pope's official title is Filii Vicarius Dei, which adds up to, in Roman numerals, 666. So there are a whole bunch of 666s on this guy. In fact, he's got one on his funny-looking hat, and he's got one on his ring that people kiss all the time, including Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan and all these guys. United States President kissing the Pope's ring? Oh, yeah. You see, what you've got, some people get confused. They say, well, okay, you got the Catholic Church. Is that the Antichrist? And then you've got this system of government, of the Illuminati and so forth. Is that the Antichrist? It's very simply this. The Bible teaches us in Revelation that there is a beast, a scarlet-colored beast. And on that beast is a woman, a false church, a whore, riding the beast. They work together. The big question always is, who's controlling the beast? Is the beast in control or is the rider in control? Well, I can tell you this. The book of Revelation tells us that the beast shall hate the whore and kill her. And the reason being is that anything, even the false Christianity, the day will come when all of that is to be destroyed. It's the big double cross, isn't it? When the decoy is no longer needed, when the religious world is totally captured, and everybody is a member of some kind of a daughter of the harlot, some denominational church, some religious system, when they're all corralled together and deceived by this big system, then the big system is no longer needed. So anything that even resembles Christianity in any way, shape, or form will be destroyed. That's the plan. Boy, are these exciting times to live in or what? But I'll tell you, it's going to take our total allegiance and dedication to our Lord to survive it. And am I preaching that hard times are coming? Hard times like none of us have ever seen. But the Lord is greater than all of that. And I know people don't like to hear about this, but it's coming. It's on the horizon right now. We need to be strong in the faith and everything will be fine, because we're going to discover what we've known all along. We'll discover it. We'll see it firsthand that our God is a miracle worker. And if you have trouble believing in miracles, you won't later, because you're going to need them. Amen. You might say, I could store up ammunition. I could store up howitzers and rockets. And I could store up money. And I could store up food. I could store up all these things. Yeah, and they could wipe you out in 10 seconds without the Lord. They know where you are. They've got satellites up there that can find a 10-cent piece in the middle of a woods at midnight from 400 miles up. They can zero in on it and take a picture, and you can read what's on the coin. They've done it. Of course, they can't stop dope traffic, you know, drugs. Oh, yes. Well, a lot of people don't realize that the number two cash crop in Wisconsin is marijuana. Did you know that? That's the number two cash crop. It's illegal, but it's the number two cash crop. And they forced them to do it. They've actually, because of the bad economy and so forth and the low prices and how they value agriculture. You know how agricultural land is valued, by the way? It's valued by what it can produce. And when the prices of the produce are manipulated and drop, then the land value drops. And if you got money borrowed on that, suddenly you're broke. Because that's how they value the land. What can it produce? And what's the production of that worth? Well, all of a sudden the price went way down. Now what? I'll tell you, a lot of strange things are going to happen. It's a gradual process, but it's happening now. So what am I telling you? You and I need Jesus Christ to help us. To have faith and to stay busy warning other people that they better get right because they're going to spend eternity someplace. And they can spend it with the Lord in heaven, or they can be lost and cast into the lake of fire, as the Bible says. Those are the two options. There are no more. There's no purgatory. Don't worry about purgatory. There isn't any. Well, the only purgatory I know of is the priest's pocket. The priest's pocket, that's purgatory, yeah, the Vatican. As Martin Luther once said, if there is a hell, the Vatican, Rome rather, is built on top of it. That's the cap of it right there. But anyway, Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 54:1, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Well, how can this be? What is he talking about here? This is a prophecy given that there would be children of God raised up. Not physical, not children that are physical only being born into this world, but being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Being brought into the kingdom of God. This is what he's talking about. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. What's he saying here? Do you mean Christians prosper? Absolutely. Because the Lord lifts us up in the things that really matter. You might not have a dollar, but you've got Jesus. And see, that's what you need. Remember the crippled man, the lame man that sat at Solomon's porch in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 3? That man was born lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked a step in his life. His only hope was to be able to get enough money through the mercy and the pity of the people that walked past him. I don't know if he had a cup or a basket or what he held out, but his only hope was to get a little money just to live on because he couldn't work. He was lame. He couldn't walk. It was a lot different back then. They didn't have ADA. They didn't have all these government regulations and ramps and railings and all this stuff. This man was in a bad way. And people would walk past and some would perhaps give him a little of something. But there was a man who had nothing. His name was Peter and he was with John. And they walked up to this man and this man asked for something from them. Hoping for a little contribution, a little handout. And the apostle Peter looked at him and said, look on us. And he looked at him, at them rather. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He didn't have any. None at all. Looks like he was not a prosperity preacher, huh? He wasn't exactly a Billy Graham or an Oral Roberts. Could they say that? Silver and gold have I none? I don't know if they'd even stop and look at him. A lot of people turn the other way and pretend they don't see. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. He solved the man's problem. He took him by the hand, his feet and his ankle bones received strength. You don't get that with a handful of coins. You get that with the power of the Holy Ghost moving into him. And he stood to his feet. And he began to walk, which was a miracle because he had never done that before. And anybody who has never walked has to learn how. But he did it. He walked. He was walking and he was leaping and he was praising God. And he went into the temple as a witness that the Lord Jesus Christ was still there by his Spirit. It was proof positive. And what is the result of that? Decisions for Christ? You know what? Nobody's ever been saved by a decision for Christ. I read my Bible through I don't know how many times, and I never saw anybody saved by a decision for Christ. But I have seen people saved when Jesus Christ made a decision for them. "Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you." Isn't that what he said? We love him because he first loved us. And what happened here? This man was called of God, lifted up by the Lord, and sent into that place as a witness. And the result was 5,000, not decisions for Christ, but 5,000 baptisms in Jesus' name. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000. How do I know they did it in Jesus' name? It says so. In those specific exact words. It was never done any other way. Isn't it interesting how the devil's got all these ministers out there baptizing people without saying the name Jesus? And that's where the power is. The devil knows that. He doesn't care if people get baptized without the name of Jesus Christ because all they do is get wet. But the power is in the name. The Apostle Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Remember what Paul was told? "And now arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." Well, what did Paul say when he was stricken down on the road to Damascus, when the voice spoke to him, and see, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" The Lord answered and said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." So when he was told to be baptized in the name of the Lord, you can be sure that he knew and understood that the Lord is Jesus Christ. For he is Lord. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Look at all the singular in there. That's the Bible. How did people get so confused? Rome! Rome had children. The whore had children. Had one child called the Lutheran system. Come on. Another one, the Methodist. That, by the way, that's where Bill Clinton likes to go, is United Methodist Church. The internet said he worships there regularly. That man who refused to block the partial birth abortion sits there and supposedly worships God while all these little babies are being murdered. Well, it takes God to judge the world, doesn't it? I'm really glad it's not up to me. I know I couldn't come anywhere near of handling a fraction of it. But God knows exactly what he's doing and what he will do. Amen. But that mother of harlots, there's a reason why that false church is called a mother church. What church in this world is called the mother church? The Catholic system. Revelation chapter 17 says that the great whore is built on seven hills. Did you know that? In case you didn't, I'll tell you. I'll read it for you because it's an important point. Revelation chapter 17. In Revelation 17:9 it says, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." What city has seven hills? Rome. Furthermore, in the 18th verse it says, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." There is a city that exercises ecclesiastical power over people, citizenry, of all nations. And it is the Roman Catholic system, a false Christianity, which gave birth to the Lutherans and to the Methodists and to the Baptists and all these others that were offspring of that system that carry her chromosomes or doctrines, like mother, like daughter. Let's face it. Now, I give credit to the reformers who stood out and did what they could. But these churches today are totally given over. Where is the Christian defense in this country? It has been infiltrated and neutralized, with the exception of a remnant people that will not be deceived. Amen. And just to clear the record, I don't believe there's a flying saucer behind the comet. In fact, if you want to know what I believe about extraterrestrials, do I believe in extraterrestrials? Yeah, wicked spirits. Do I think there's life on Mars or Venus or Alpha Centauri? Huh? No. Is there any other life in the universe? No. Right here, this is it. What are these flying saucers? Are they real? Oh, you better believe it. They're atomic-powered U.S. Air Force flying saucers. You know, they've got some strange stuff. All you have to do is open your eyes and look and see it. You know, back during, it was back in the 60s, I remember when this happened. Charles de Gaulle, remember Charles de Gaulle, France? Oh, he was almost as bad as Khrushchev. You know, he got real nasty sometimes. He was a shoe pounder too, you know. Khrushchev, you know, he carried that third shoe in his attaché case, so he had one to pound with. I used to think that he took it off his foot, but he left his shoes on his feet. He had a third one, he'd pound with that, you know, to emphasize his point. Pound with his shoe. "We will bury you." Remember that? Well, he's buried. Anyway, Charles de Gaulle challenged the United States. He was mad about something. He had a bug in his beard about something. But anyway, he was all upset. And he said he was going to fly some of his French fighters, Delta Wing Mirage fighters, over our top secret military base called Rota in Spain, the Iberian Peninsula. And he was going to take pictures, and then he was going to send them to Washington to show what he could do. So he dispatched his Delta Wing Mirage fighters. They went over near Rota. They were warned, a message came through their radio in French telling them to break away and to abort their mission. They didn't do it. Another voice, same voice, came through, warned them a second time and a third time. Well, after the third time, they went down into a full tilt to get the pictures, and suddenly, on every plane, everything stopped. The engines all cut out, every plane, instruments died, nothing worked. They were hit by nothing. They had to eject, and they landed in their parachutes, and they were embarrassed. What were they hit by? A force field of some kind. There are weapons that they haven't told us about. Way back there in the 30s and 40s, they had something called a magnetron. They were doing amazing things with this magnetron. When they were all through using it and had it fully exploited, then they put it inside a little box and called it a microwave oven so we could make popcorn and make a fortune on them that way. But the magnetron existed a long time before you and I ever knew it existed. The laser, light amplification by the stimulated emission of radiation. We didn't know about that until back in the late 60s, early 70s. All I'm trying to say is they've got some very sophisticated weapons. Remember back there in the 67 war when Egypt under Nasser and all these Arabs attacked Israel, the Israeli state, I should say. That's not Israel, it's the Israeli state. I want to make that clear. And as they were moving in, all of a sudden, all of their tanks died at the same instant. They all quit. Nothing would run. So these Arabs jumped out, and they were scared. They didn't know what had happened. They ran away and left their tanks. These Israeli soldiers came along and jumped in and drove them away. They were hit by nothing. A number of years ago in the city of Denver, the whole city shut down. Elevators, cars wouldn't run, everything stopped. Batteries didn't even work for about an hour. They've never explained it. After an hour was up, everything started up again. Oh, they got some amazing stuff. But I can't wait until the Lord comes, because you talk about something coming to an abrupt halt. Oh, I could go on and on and tell you about these things. But yeah, are there flying saucers? Oh, sure there are. You know, they make such a big deal about the shuttle going up. And before that, remember the Apollo missions and going to the moon and so forth. And they talked about how they saw these flying saucers, you know, flying alongside them. That was just their escort, that's all. They acted like they were amazed. Oh, we saw UFOs, unidentified flying objects. You know, back in 1955, I believe it was, 53, 54, 55, somewhere in there, they were talking about anti-gravity. Anti-gravity. This government had anti-gravity. They were floating big heavy metal objects in the air. Just floating them. And they were showing this on newsreels and theaters. And the New York Herald Tribune published a 3-week series on anti-gravity devices that we had perfected. And right after they published it, they went out of business. And the University of Wisconsin, the State Historical Society, bought the entire microfilm collection of the New York Herald Tribune. So I went down there and I made photocopies of that entire thing. I've got them in my files. And it's amazing what they have done. They got the names of the people. They got the things they were able to do. These objects, they had a whole system set up. But all of a sudden, there was a dead silence, and you never heard of it again. You don't hear much about gyroscopic energy, do you? Objects spinning. What would happen if you had two Frisbees spinning in opposite directions? Gyroscopic. Do you ever have a gyroscope? You can balance them on your finger and stuff. It'd take almost no effort to move that thing at all. The fact is, they've got these objects and they're flying around with them. They just don't want you to know about it. Why are they going through all of this effort? They're building up an arsenal trying to stop the one who is coming back to this earth to judge it. My Bible tells me in Psalm 2, he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. I don't care what they build. They're not going to stop the Lord. Just watch them try to use a force field on the Lord. Oh, boy. I can't wait. Honestly, I get giddy about it. I can't wait. I just can't wait. Amen. Revelation 19:19 tells us that all the nations will gather together to make war against him that sitteth upon the horse. That means all this, and you see the military all coming together into a one world army, a one world navy, a one world air force, right? All UN. We've got UN bases all over this country now. And our pusillanimous and conspiratorial president even gave China a naval base in California. Gave it to him. Well, yeah, it had to be reserved for the red chinks, you know, the commies. Well, come on. What an awful thing. That's high treason. There are a lot of people going to suffer in this land, a lot of them. Now, we have an assurance in Jesus Christ that he's going to get us through this. I just keep trying to remind people how great the problem is so they can appreciate the answer. They can appreciate the solution. Amen. The scripture tells us that we should not fear. It says in verse 4 of Isaiah 54, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore." Do you ever think back to when you were young and feel ashamed? The shame of thy youth? Did you ever do anything stupid when you were younger? Anything that you regret, you wish you hadn't done it? Oh, 1,000 times over you wish you hadn't done it. All those regrets that are stored up in your gray matter up there. Huh? Well, the Lord says that he's going to cause us to forget the shame of our youth. There's something about being cleaned up by Jesus Christ where you don't have to think back and worry about that. You can look back at a time when you were stupid, but you're forgiven. But it's washed away. But the Lord took it away and it'll never be brought to mind. It'll never appear in judgment because it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. "For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God." See, the people of God fell into the hands of the wicked people of the world because they were tempted, because they became victims of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, what the world had to offer. And the people of God continually, read it in the Old Testament here, how they continually made mistakes, but God in his mercy brought them back. At one point he sent them into Babylonian captivity, didn't he? But he brought them back. "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Isn't that wonderful news? That is the result of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I urge you to read that sometime in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because it tells you that the gospel has three elements to it: death, burial, resurrection. That's why we are commanded to repent. That's the way we experience the death of Jesus Christ. In our repentance, we have an affinity with his death on the cross. We renounce sin. We turn away from it. Then there's a burial. It's water baptism, buried with him in baptism. You see, that's the burial portion. Buried with him, Jesus, in baptism. And then rising to walk in newness of life. being filled with the Spirit of God. That is the gospel. And nothing short of that is the gospel. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. Listen to what God is saying here in regard to you and I. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Look at that. It gives a whole new meaning to what the Scripture says when it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We often say, well, the world was so wicked and filled with violence and became very queer and weird and all these things, and so it was and so it is today. But there's another way to look at this, and that is that the Lord saved Noah. That Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And here the Lord is saying, this is as of the waters of Noah unto me. He's saying, just as I said, and what was the seal of his promise? The rainbow, wasn't it? I do set my bow in the sky. In other words, I will never again destroy the earth by water. And when John saw God sitting in heaven, when he saw the throne of God, can you imagine seeing the throne of God? Well, you will very soon. But he saw the throne of God, and John didn't see three gods sitting up there either. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 4 that there was a throne set in heaven and one sat on the throne. That's what it says. The Catholics got people thinking there's three thrones up there. There's three gods up there. There's, you know, an old, bewhiskered, gray, bearded man, and that's God. And then Jesus is a younger man, and he's got a crown on his head, and then there's a dove flapping around with a halo around it. That's the Catholic impression of God. When the Bible talks about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's talking about one God who manifested himself in various ways, but he is not three separate individual persons, as the Catholic Church tried to teach. God, there is an express image of God's person, singular. Person means flesh. Do you think our Heavenly Father has any other flesh other than the flesh of Jesus Christ? When Jesus said, God is a spirit. How many spirits? A spirit. And a spirit hath not flesh and bones. What did the Lord say earlier in Isaiah? There is no God beside me. I know not any. Sounds like one to me. He said there's none beside him. But I'll tell you, the system has got people all twisted around in their minds. But listen to the promise here that he's making. Oh, by the way, let me finish that. When he saw that throne in heaven, it was surrounded by a rainbow like an emerald. Remember that? This rainbow surrounded the throne of God, and it was green like an emerald. And of course, a movie came out many, many years ago as a mockery of that, called The Wizard of Oz, where they went where? To the Emerald City, didn't they? And there was a wizard who was supposed to have all the answers, but turned out to be a big phony baloney, a big fake, who couldn't do anything. Why, he couldn't even give the scarecrow a brain, could he? But he did give something, he made a statement that's very profound and true to this very day, very true of our public school system. Remember what the wizard said to the scarecrow? I can't give you a brain, but I can give you a diploma. Huh? Remember that? Oh, yes. Now, verse 10 says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Boy, this ought to make you a little happy on the inside, huh? Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Have you ever read of the great city in Revelation that it talks about? With all the jewels and the streets of gold? Of course, some people are willing to throw all of that, living in that for eternity. They want to throw that away for a little fun now. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Taught of the Lord. That's what we have to make sure happens, is that our children are taught of the Lord. And not of anyone else or any other thing. They need the teaching of the Lord. And when this happens, there will be peace. If anything gets in the way, there will be trouble. And I can say that I know that the devil has been after all of our children. And he's left his mark here and there as we fight, as we fought battles. But the battle is the Lord's, and it's not over yet. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Why? The Lord is so near. When the Lord is near, you're not afraid. The disciples had to learn that lesson, didn't they? Remember when they're out in the boat? These seasoned sailors, fishermen were out there, and the boat started to sink, and they were in jeopardy, and Jesus was sleeping. You remember the story. And they went over and they woke him up and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a question to ask him, huh? When you think about it. Carest thou not that we perish? If you want to see how much he cared, he went to the cross. That's how much he cared. And if he cared that much then, he cares that much now. Because he doesn't change. And the effect of that is still as great as it ever was. And he woke up. See, God doesn't sleep, but the Son of God slept. That wasn't God the Son sleeping. That was the Son of God sleeping there. You understand that? Because the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Bible tells us that. But he got up and he looked up at the wind, the storm that was raging, and he just very simply said, Peace, be still. And that was the end of it. That was the end of it right then and there. It came to an abrupt halt, for the Bible says there was a great calm. How long did it take God to create this world? 7 days, 7 real days of 24 hours. I don't believe in theistic evolution. I don't believe these people that say, well, God spoke and then it took millions of years. Then he spoke again and it took millions of years. The evening and the morning were the first day. He divided the light from darkness to show a measurement there. And then he created, that was his creative power. Did Jesus stand up and say, Peace be still, and 1,000 years went by, and then it, oh no. That was the voice of the Creator. There was a great calm, and it came instantly. Amen. For thou shalt not fear, it says. And from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. What does that mean? Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Are they going to gather together against us? What do you think they're doing right now? Listen, the government and the system and the world and the devil's system hates you. Isn't that wonderful? It is, really, it is. They hate you. But it's better to be loved of God and hated of the world than to have friendship with the world and be at enmity with God. They're going to fall. Verse 16 says, Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. In other words, the Lord's really ultimately in charge. He's made all things. Some people say, you mean God made the devil? Yeah, he did. But he didn't make him as the devil. He made him as Lucifer, the angel of light, the son of the morning, the bringer of light. But the Bible says iniquity was found in him. See, that's the origin of evil. You know what's really interesting? If you ever get in a discussion with a psychology professor, sit down and talk to one sometime if you get a chance, if you want to take on a real challenge. And ask them this question. Could you explain to me the origin of evil? Where did the first evil come from? Not all along the way. I want you to go back and show me where did evil start. Because they'll say, you're okay, I'm okay, this is a, you know, everybody's basically good. Tell me, where did evil start? They can't do it. They're stuck. They cannot do it. The truth is, Satan is the origin of evil. Iniquity was found in Lucifer. That's where it started. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage. This belongs to you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. This is the result of what Jesus did on the cross. This is the result of Calvary. The Lord said he is going to take care of you. He's not going to be angry with you. Some people get this impression of God that there's a sword hanging over their head all the time. The Lord's just waiting to destroy them. That is not the case. This book tells me because of Jesus Christ, the Lord is on your side, not on your back. He's with you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Shall we stand? By the way, that verse will take on more and more meaning as the day approaches. Am I an alarmist? I'm not alarmed. I'm not alarmed. I don't want anybody else to be alarmed that's a Christian. If you're not a Christian, I want you to be very alarmed. I hope a whole bunch of alarms go off. So you can't sleep at night till you repent. I'm serious. I trust the Lord to call many. Many are called, few are chosen. And I trust him and believe him and intercede for people that I see here tonight and for those on the mailing list and that receive the tapes. I'm praying for you. I pray that you will find your place on your knees before Almighty God, that he will prepare your heart for what's coming, because it's not going to be beautiful as far as what this world's going to see. But there's a God that will personally take care of you because he's a shepherd. All we like sheep have gone astray, but he gathered us together and saved us. He'll take care of us, I have no doubt. Amen. We're going to pray, and then I'd like to invite you to pray before you leave. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds stayed upon the Lord. Amen. And you know, God told Moses that he should say this as a blessing upon the people of Israel. And with that thought, I say it to you as a pastor. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus' name. And I trust and pray that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even the Lord Jesus Christ, will keep us ready always and give us victory in every battle. The time is short. Days are evil. Trust him. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this gathering tonight. We thank thee, Lord, that we can see the day approaching. We can see thy word has the instructions as to what we are to do. I pray for every person in this building tonight and those that hear the tape recording that thou wouldst be merciful and gracious to us all. Help us to be ready for thy soon coming. I know that thou hast promised to take care of us, to give us peace, to watch over us, O Lord, in all things. And in thee do we trust. Lord, I pray that thou wouldst keep us together in the glory of thy kingdom, ever waiting and looking and longing for thy soon appearing. I pray that the devil would be rebuked, bound, and cast out in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the power of thy saving blood. And, O Lord, may all of us be bold to do that which is right and good in thy sight. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.